During announcement time, I should have made mention that we have these door hangers back in the back row, back there where Jeff is sitting. They turned out really, really, really good for those that haven't seen them. On the back, if the next event we have, if you wanted to write that there, I'll see if I can get some address things to put on there with the next event. But hand them out. We would love to have to reorder because we've handed all 500 of them out already. So I'll have to preface getting ready to preach this sermon, as I said in an email or a text message to many of you, that this is my all-time favorite sermon. I've preached it many times. That being said, I know Peggy would always say, "I like when the preacher doesn't yell at us." Well, I promise that I won't yell at you, but I can't promise that I won't get a little bit excited, because one of my favorite topics in the world is God and country. And being a veteran, I think that kind of fits my personality. And so that is your warning. I will get excited as I talk about this subject, God Bless America. The first time I preached this sermon was at a God and Country rally in Hope, Indiana. I preached it from the gazebo, and I actually have that recorded, and I listen to it every once in a while. Hopefully I've gotten better over the years and the number of times that I've brought this message. And so here we go. God bless America. America's been blessed as a nation from our very beginning. In my humble opinion, that is because we were founded as a Christian nation. If you look, you think about how fast the United States became a superpower, and then maybe even the only superpower for a short period of time. You would think of the superpowers as the Soviet Union, and we see they disbanded, and we won the Cold War. Russia would probably be considered a superpower, as well as China. But you think about how fast the United States became a superpower. I think that only happened with the grace and the blessings of God. Our verse for the day, the first one I want to read, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. You've heard me say this before, and it is one of my favorite verses in the Bible that says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I think all of us can agree that we need God in America. And I have a song that I will read the lyrics to. You notice I kind of made people think I have a song, and you might think, to sing? No. A song with the lyrics that I will read at the end of the sermon that is titled God in America Again. You know, one of my least favorite words in the English dictionary is the word deist. Deist, meaning there is a higher power. Not necessarily the God of the Bible, but a higher power. Well, I believe in a higher power, and that higher power is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is who the higher power is. And he's way more than just a higher power. He is the God of all creation. And so I say that about the word deist because if you listen to many people and look at what they write, they say that we were formed as a deist nation. That there's a higher power that was there, but the founding fathers were really just deists. They believed in something but not necessarily the God of the Bible, and more importantly, that they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to prove to you that that's not the case. You see, as in many subjects, you don't want to just take the word of what somebody says or what somebody writes. You know, it's not true that if it's on the internet that it's true. How many people believe that? I mean, I hope none of you believe that, but there's a lot of people that believe. You can look things up on the internet, and it's got to be true because it's the internet. Well, that's a lie straight from hell. And you can find just about anything you want from any perspective you want on the internet. So you got to look for things and try to make what you have read go along with the facts. And the facts, sometimes you have to dig for. You see, the founding fathers weren't deists for the most part. As a matter of fact, a high number of them were Christians. Christians meaning followers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to prove that to you, not because I've read it, not because it feels good for me, and it does feel good for me. I'm going to prove it with the direct quotations from many of the founding fathers. First of all, I want to read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8, telling us that we need to be in prayer for those who are in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8 says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and the teacher of the true faith of the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. And may God grant his blessings upon the reading of that passage of Scripture. You know, I just realized something. I pulled out the old manuscript, and obviously it was from a few years ago because the print is much smaller than what I use now. And so when I was hesitating, I was having a hard time following into the next line. And so, I've aged a year or two, and obviously my eyesight isn't as good as it once was. I want you to listen to some of the founding fathers and other patriots. And this by no means is a list that is full, but it's more than enough to prove that we were blessed and founded upon Christian principles. John Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, a judge, a diplomat, one of the two signers of the Bill of Rights, second president of the United States, said this: "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." Sounds like he was a Christian, not just a deist. And that goes on. Without religion in this world, he says, would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean hell. The Christian religion is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humility. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. I have examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. sound like a Christian man to me, one of the founding fathers and one of our first presidents. His son, John Quincy Adams, was the sixth president of the United States, a diplomat, secretary of state, U.S. senator, U.S. representative, and he said this, "My hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ, and I cannot cavil or quibble away. The whole tenor of his conduct, by which he sometimes positively asserted and other countenances, permits his disciples in asserting that he was God." You know, I get fired up about God and country. And I get fired up when I hear people say that the founding fathers were deists, because that's just two of several that I'm going to read. And it was evident that they didn't just believe in a God. They believed in the God of the Bible. They believed in Jesus Christ. Many of them were clergy members. Many of them did things in their life that showed their true colors, and those true colors being that they were Christian men and women. Another person with the last name Adams, Samuel Adams. Many people think of that name associated with beer. Samuel Adams was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, father of the American Revolution, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, and governor of Massachusetts. He said, "I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon for all of my sins." Most people know George Washington, and many people say that he was one of the lesser religious people of that time. I'm going to show you that even though he may not have shown his faith all the time, he was definitely a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't need to read his resume. We know him as the first president of the United States, as the father of his country. And he said, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are." You see, we continue on, and Thomas Jefferson, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, a diplomat, a governor of Virginia, secretary of state, and the third president of the United States. The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend to all the happiness of man. Patrick Henry said, "Being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books that were ever printed." You see, we continue with what the founding fathers had to say. Joseph Story, a congressman and a Supreme Court justice, "I verily believe that Christianity is necessary to support a civil society, and shall ever attend to its institutions and knowledge of its precepts as the pure natural sources of private and social happiness." You know, what a way to write the U.S. Constitution other than on the precepts of God's way of doing things. We hold these freedoms close to us. We hold what the Bible says. I mean, where can you come up with things better than "thou shalt not murder" and "thou shalt not steal"? I mean, those are pretty good way to run your country, isn't it? You don't have to write. Well, we continue to add laws every year, many laws. I think we have way too many laws on the books. I don't know how you can follow. Let's just look at the tax code and the laws that go there. I mean, I think it's a stack, something like that, and I'm not even sure anybody's read all of them. Well, okay, maybe somebody has, but not one of us, I promise you, could sit here and tell you all of the tax laws that there are. You know, several years ago, Barack Obama said, We are not a Christian nation. And then he said, not only a Christian nation, but a nation of Muslims, a nation of Hindus, and several other religions. And somewhat I agree with what he said. Those religions are welcome here in the United States, but we are a Christian nation. A Christian nation that has allowed and opened our arms to any and all. Many countries around the world are one religion. Many Muslim countries, if you go there and you try to talk about Christianity, you can be put in jail or even put to death. Many countries will not allow you to send in missionaries to try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have opened our borders, our country, to those of different faiths, those of different nationalities. And so while I don't agree with the fact that we're not a Christian nation, I understand that we are a nation that is made up of many different people, many different religions, many different countries of origin. And I think that when God says that all men are created equal, he included those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know, God gave us free will. And in that free will, we have the ability to choose God and his son Jesus or not to choose. We have the free will to choose to worship someone other than the God of the Bible and his son Jesus Christ, which fits right along with our country. We are a Christian nation that doesn't force people to become Christians. Nobody is forced to be Christians. As I said earlier, there are some places in the world that if you are not whatever that religion is, you will many times be arrested and even worse. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, said, condescend, merciful Father, to grant as far as proper these imperfect petitions, to accept these inadequate thanksgivings, and to pardon whatever of sin hath mingled in them for the sake of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, to whom with thee and the blessed Spirit, ever one God, be rendering all glory and honor now and forever. Think about that. He just didn't mention God and he didn't just mention Jesus, but he also mentioned the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. A couple more and then I'll move on. Benjamin Franklin, again, another one of the founders that they say may not have been a Christian that was deeply founded in his faith, but he said this, as to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion as he left them to us, the best the world ever saw or is likely to see. In Congress, 1854, the great vital and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Daniel Webster, whatever makes men good Christian makes them good citizens. And finally, Noah Webster, you might recognize that name with a dictionary that goes along with him. The religion which was introduced, civil liberty, is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of the government. Today, America, many Christians may be hot. Oh boy, that didn't roll off my tongue at all, did it? Christians may be hauled to jail for preaching Jesus. Apparently, the Constitution carries little weight in Dearborn. I wrote that fact comes from 2010. when there were Christians that were taken to jail. Dearborn has a huge Muslim population there. And they were having a huge Muslim gathering. And Christians were there and were quoting Bible and scriptures. And when they did that, they were taken to jail because they were reading God's word. Michael W. Smith talked about we don't need the government to take care of us. Boy, and one of my things is if the government is doing it, it's probably not done very efficiently. Am I right? You know, you look at welfare, you look at food stamps, you look at the IRS, you look at many different things that come from the government, and if they were privatized by people that knew what they were doing, it would be much better than the way the government does it. In welfare, the whole goal of welfare ought to be to help people while they need it and get them off of welfare and become citizens that can take care of themselves. But we have a welfare system that encourages people to have more kids because then they get more welfare money. I had a cousin. She was a master. She's passed on and gone on. But she was a master at the system, taking care or taking advantage of the system. She knew where she could get free anything. She knew what numbers that she could maximize what she got from the government. That's not how welfare should take place. As a matter of fact, the church ought to be taking care of people instead of the government taking care of people. And I promise you, if that was the case, it would be a better system. But now the church stands back because the government gets in the way. And many church people say, well, there's no need for us to do it because the government's going to do it. We pay our tax money. Let the government take care of it. That's not the way God designed the way things happen. In 2 Chronicles, before the "if my people," it says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or to send a plague among every people. And then the verse we read earlier. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's one of those situations where God says, if you do this, and he listed four things, then he will do this. And he listed three things. You see, God wants to see our actions. He wants to see if we are serious. It's easy to say, God, I want this, or God, I want that. But are you willing to do what God tells you to do, what he tells us to do? As a country, are we willing to do the things that we have to do to be a godly nation? And many times in today's society, the answer is no. You see, he said, he called his people, Christians, who are called by his name, God. And he said these four things. They need to humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. Those four things. If you do that as a country, then he will do the following. He will hear from heaven and will forgive the sins of our nation and will heal their land. Folks, I'm here today to tell you that I believe our country needs to be healed by the God of the Bible. The song that I told you earlier, God in America by Carmen. I don't know if younger folks wouldn't recognize that name. Even some of you older folks that may not have been into Christian music a long time ago. This song, I believe, was written in the 80s. So you think about what we're going to say here, and then you fast forward from the 80s till today, and it's almost like he is a prophet with what is said here. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay, names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since "Give me liberty or give me death," Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible, chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believe that you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle. And it's true, because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to school, to these war zones that we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. So this tells me I was wrong earlier. It actually is written in the 90s. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is to put God in America again. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again. Abe Lincoln said, the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancies and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day, a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vexes us all when it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it. It's a sign that the judgment of God is going to fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. I believe it's time for America to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand, and send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from. And let the Word of God revive our dying land, for Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power coming on us to boldly tell the world, you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the Word of God in schools. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again. We need God in America. God in America. God in America again. I love this country. At least three of us in here raised our right hand and took an oath that said we promised to defend this nation against all enemies, both foreign, meaning other countries, and domestic, meaning people from within our own country. We raised our right hand and we promised that we would do everything that we can do to protect this great nation, a nation founded on godly principles. I take that oath seriously still today, and I'm sure the other two men here that raised that right hand do as well. We take that oath seriously. Millions of people have gone on before us. Hundreds of thousands gave their lives founding this country, keeping this country free. And I say that our generation needs to make sure that we pass on to the next generation that this country was founded by men and women who believed in the principles of Jesus Christ. They believe that God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit are what this nation believed in its founding. And no matter what anybody says, the United States of America is a Christian nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, I thank you for this great nation that we have, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak on that topic. God bless America. Please bless America, Father. Forgive us for turning against you in so many ways as a nation. Help those of us who believe in you, Father, and your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Help us to be bold and stand up for what you would have us to stand up for. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Again, forgive us of our sins and help us, Father, to do the right thing in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.